private cul-de-sac.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have a busy show. We are going to hear a report from our friends at WOOC about how it is turtle season and how you should watch out on the roads so you don't run over any of the turtles. We'll also hear the first new music in years from Copaig's PG6, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news and Jason Martin's song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
Frank Sesich of Blue Ash, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Acre.
There are so many things to do in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, including on Saturday, August 19th, from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., it's time for the Deep in the Valley 2023 Festival. Raven Sings the Blues presents a second year of Psych Jam experimental country and folk bands performing, this year with Riley Walker, $75 Bill, Garcia Peoples, Sun Watchers, the Weeping Bong Band, Gold Dust, Ned Collette, and Gliders performing. That's at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook on Saturday, August 19th, the Deep in the Valley Festival. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David Gorin of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, June 22nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Philip Pantuso reports in the Times Union that Kingston's Rent Guidelines Board voted 5-3 June 21st to freeze rents for 1- and 2-year leases at rent-controlled apartments beginning October 1st, 2023. Many speakers at a June 17th public hearing had urged the board to freeze rents, but the decision is unprecedented among upstate municipalities. The rent freeze only applies to properties subject to the Emergency Tenant Protection Act, which covers 64 buildings and approximately 1,200 rental units in Kingston. The city has seen the average rent doubled since 2015, and home values have increased 50% since 2020. It is part of the affordable housing crisis cited by Governor Kathy Hochul and others. Kingston adopted the Emergency Tenant Protection Act last summer and has declared a housing emergency. Aaron Naraf Fernando, a spokesperson for the advocate group For the Many, said, quote, keeping rents frozen will continue to provide rent-stabilized Kingston tenants with the relief they desperately need. Kingston does not exist in a vacuum, and the rest of New York State is taking notice, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that the state legislature has approved a measure to curb late billing from utilities such as Central Hudson. Michelle Hinchey, a Democrat from Saugerty, sponsored the bill in the state Senate. Hinchey said in a statement that utility bills, quote, should be accurate and on time, and we know, based on the lived experience of people across the Hudson Valley, that these core responsibilities are not being honored by certain utility companies serving our communities. This bill has the potential to put more money back into the pockets of New Yorkers while incentivizing utilities to send customer bills in a timely and transparent way, and we look forward to the governor swiftly signing it into law, unquote. Central Hudson spokesperson Joseph Jenkins said, quote, Central Hudson agrees that our customers deserve to receive their bills in a timely fashion. However, this legislation is misguided and will likely result in unintended negative consequences, unquote. Jenkins claims the energy industry is, quote, rapidly evolving and has resulted in increasingly complex billing scenarios that pull from numerous data points and involve variables like time of day usage, demand rates, net metering, community choice aggregation, and electric vehicle charging tariffs. These complexities have the potential to delay bills in order to ensure customer accounts are accurate, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that in the state assembly's brief special session this week, lawmakers passed a number of bills, including a ban on wildlife killing competitions. Quote, most New Yorkers would be shocked to learn that dozens of horrific unsporting contests take place each year in New York to kill the largest number of certain species of wildlife, or some other metric like the largest specimen, unquote, said Assemblymember Deborah Glick, the bill's main sponsor in the assembly. The state Senate had previously passed the bill, so it goes to Governor Kathy Hochul for a signature or a veto. If Governor Hochul signs the measure, New York will join California, Vermont, New Mexico, Arizona, Massachusetts, Colorado, Washington State, Maryland, and Oregon in banning wildlife killing competitions. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 22nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 55 degrees in Skodak to 49 in Voorheesville. Regional average soil temperature is 64 degrees. Pond levels for today will be medium, registering in Ravenna at 7 out of 12 or about 58%. Clouds and rain creep up from the south today, so the farther north you go, the warmer it will likely get. As the rain comes through, some drops may fall for some and not for others. Moderated by the cloud cover, we get a high of only 69 at 1 p.m. Overnight, the same moderation is in play and temperatures drop only to 61 degrees. Tomorrow will be actually rainy with a stormy afternoon. A high of 77 happens at 2 p.m. 68 degrees overnight takes us into a wet-looking weekend. 79 degrees and stormy on Saturday. A high of 82 and also stormy looking on Sunday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:30 a.m., high tide at 6:27 a.m., low tide again at 1:20 p.m., and high tide once again at 7:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:20 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:16 a.m. And yes, it is the first full day of official summer. You know, if you want to believe the government's propaganda. All right, well, in reality, nature doesn't actually care. Take a look. Outside, it's going to feel like a late spring day today. But pretty soon, the actual heat will pile up, and that starts to happen early in July. Looking way up, we see a couple days ago, a solar flare lit up the upper atmosphere, blocking low-frequency communications. Today, the Hadouken produced by it is expected to sideswipe our magnetic field. As such, G1 class magnetic storm watches are up. Plasma winds will be average at 444 kilometers per second with an average density of 9 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 190, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
KZMB, All Zombie Radio.
I have known love, and at times it was a simple love, gentle and kind, with murmurs and whispers as we drift asleep. There is no fire left in me now. There is no fire left in me now. I have known love, and at times it shook me to the core, tender yet cruel, consuming and desperate as the night burns on. There is no fight left in me now. There is no fight left in me now. Times it was a grieving love. Come to me now and cling to me tightly as the end draws near. There is no fire left in me. There is no fight left in me now.
From Kopake, PG6 there with his first new music in over a decade with I Have Known Love from 2023.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You flatter me with this falsehood. You who are the authors of a big lie about the last election must condemn the truth tellers, and I stand proudly before you.
Democratic California Representative and former House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff spoke on the House floor Wednesday as GOP members cleared the way to censure for leading probes of former President Donald Trump and the January 6th insurrection. Republican Representative Ana Paulina Luna of Florida made a privileged resolution, which facilitates a speedy floor vote. Republican Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado is pushing for her own privileged resolution to impeach Biden over what some have called the immigration crisis. Boebert also had harsh words for Schiff.
His tombstone should read of his failed career in Congress and should be one word, liar. I yield back.
The Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on President Joe Biden's student debt relief plan. Republican South Dakota Senator John Thune says he hopes the court strikes down what he calls Biden's student debt forgiveness scheme.
I just think that the American people find it offensive to think that they could take the 13% of people in this country who have student loans, take that debt and transfer it to the 87% of people who don't have student loans. And that's what we're doing.
The court must first rule at least one of the challengers, six Republican-led states and two individual borrowers, has the legal standing to bring forward the suit. And if so, rule on the plan itself. Former University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines testified at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing relating to protecting civil rights for LGBTQ plus Americans. Gaines spoke about her experience competing with transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, as well as having to share the same locker room. Gaines said it wasn't fair.
Defending women's rights is not anti-anyone. Believing in biology is not bigoted. And following the science that there are only two sexes and that there are very real and important differences between the two sexes is not hateful, it's fact.
A new Gallup poll showed 69% of Americans believe transgender athletes should compete in sports with their biological sex. Texas Governor Greg Abbott recently enacted a law requiring college athletes to participate in sports based on the gender on their birth certificate. On Wednesday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer laid out his legislative framework to regulate artificial intelligence. Schumer said AI could be revolutionary, but echoed the concerns of tech experts who have warned of the possible dangers.
AI could be our most spectacular innovation yet, a force that could ignite a new era of technological advancement, scientific discovery, industrial might. So, we must come up with a plan that encourages, not stifles, innovation.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Last November, Michigan voters passed Promote the Vote Question 2, dramatically expanding the freedom to vote in Michigan's state constitution. Despite its 60% mandate, some partisans complain that voters didn't understand the amendment and were misled. Bills have just been filed to codify Question 2, which includes a minimum of 9 days of early voting, a permanent absentee voter list, and prepaid postage, curing, and tracking for absentee ballots, among several reforms. House Bill 4695 is one of a number of bills revising current election law, in this case to allow early voting. Other bills address early processing of absentee ballots and voter ID options. HB 4695 offers flexibility for local officials to implement early voting, for which local clerks are already preparing. VoteBeat Michigan reports that the city of Detroit, with its 500,000 registered voters, is adapting its satellite voting centers for 3 weeks of early voting. Rural Hillsdale County will likely have one voting center open for the minimum 9 days. Some legislators continue to try and discredit Question 2 and the bills to codify it, using words like bait and switch and, quote, Prop 2 was largely passed on lies. But Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson said in her testimony, they are and reflect national best practices. We have links to the bill and to the state's 2022 Question 2 explainer on AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I heard about your love. So you're alone today. Inside of peace of mind. No water running. Water run and dream. Mm-hmm.
A human being is this night, this empty nothing that contains everything in its simplicity, an unending wealth of many representations. This night, the interior of nature that exists here, pure self in phantasms, has night all around it, in which here shoots a bloody head, there another white ghastly apparition. Suddenly here before it, and just so, disappears. One catches sight of this night when one looks human beings in the eye. Into night that becomes awful.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hi, my name is Matilda. A while back, I had the chance to speak with Reverend Debbie Philp for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. In addition to being an interfaith minister, Debbie has a passion for turtles. She says that she has a spiritual connection and love for turtles and is committed to teaching others about them. She founded Dancing Turtle Rescue so she can help rehabilitate turtles in the Adirondacks. In addition to freshwater turtles, Debbie also rehabilitates pet turtles, which I learned are sometimes left in the wild by their owners, which is very, 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 very sad. There are also lots of concerns about turtle habitats, and we need to conserve our wetlands to save the turtles. In my conversation, I learned a lot about turtles and their nesting season. If you want to learn more, go to Debbie's website, dancingturtlerescue.org. I hope you like learning about turtles as much as I did. And now, Saving Turtles with Tilda!
Hello, this is Matilda Rinker-Tennant interviewing Debbie Philp about turtles for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Hi, Debbie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Matilda. It's great to be here.
How did your work with turtles start?
When I became a wildlife rehabilitator and I got my license, I knew I wanted to work with turtles because I'd had a pet turtle and I just really loved them.
What kind of turtles are there?
So in this part of New York, we mostly have painted turtles and snapping turtles. There's also some northern map turtles and wood turtles and spotted turtles. Down south of Albany, there's some box turtles. So we don't see too many of them up here.
What do you do to help injured turtles, like ones with a hurt shell or carapace?
I'm glad you knew the name carapace. That's excellent. When we have a turtle that has an injured shell, which usually happens because they get hit by cars, very first thing that we do is to do comfort care. So we make sure that they are hydrated and that they are warm enough. And then we do basic first aid. And then depending on how bad it is, we'll either tape the shell together and let it heal. Or if it's bad enough that it needs more intervention, we'll have our vets help us out.
What should I do if I see a turtle in the road?
Okay, well, if you see a turtle crossing the road, the most important thing to remember is that it's going to keep going the way it's going. So you can get out and help a turtle across the road by lifting it very carefully. A smaller turtle, you can wrap your hands around the center of its shell. When you lift it up, try not to pick it up very high off the ground because sometimes they kick and they can scratch you and you might drop them. So we want to make sure it stays close to the ground. And then walk her across the road in the direction she was already going and just put her down on the shoulder on the other side and let her go her own way. Now, sometimes you find snapping turtles and they're not always so easy to pick up. But one thing you can do is you can get a big stick or something like that and kind of nudge them across. Or some people have success by getting the turtle to snap on the end of the stick and just kind of leading them across while they're holding on.
What should I do if I see an injured turtle?
Now, if you find an injured turtle, the most important thing to do is to get it off the road as soon as you can do so safely. So if you can pick that turtle up and put it on a towel or in a little box or something like that, and then you're going to want to call for help. Now, here in the North Country, we have North Country Wild Care, which is the organization that I am part of. And they have a hotline that's manned 24 hours a day. And that number is 518-964-6740. As soon as you can, you should call and ask the hotline volunteer for help, because they're going to tell you the best place to go with that turtle to get it aid. So we have members all over the North Country area. We go from south of Albany all the way up into the Adirondacks, so we can always find someone.
Why do they go in the road in the first place?
That's another really good question. So the female turtles, when it's nesting season, which is happening now, it usually starts mid-May and goes until about the 4th of July, the female turtles will come out of the water and they will walk until they find a really good spot to lay their eggs. And sometimes they go pretty far. They might go a quarter of a mile or half a mile from the water. And they know where they want to go, and we keep putting roads in their way. So they'll go across. They want to find places where they know their nests won't get flooded, and that where they'll be warm enough and where it's easy enough to dig. So a lot of times they'll come out and they'll go to the side of the road and find that nice gravel on the side of the road, and they'll dig in there. So that's why you see a lot of snapping turtles right on the side of the road, like digging their nests. And you can tell if they're digging their nest because they use their back legs, and they'll just sit in one spot and they'll use their back legs to dig a big hole, and then they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll use their back legs to fill it all in again. And it can take a few hours. So if you ever see a turtle that is in a safe place and is just kind of sitting there, that's probably what's going on.
How many turtles do you think you've helped so far?
Probably about 80.
If I would get a pet turtle, how would I take care of it?
Turtles are not too hard to take care of if you get them housed really well. So they're going to need a big tank, bigger than you think, because they grow bigger than you know, when you get them in the pet store, they're still pretty young. They'll need that water warm, so they have to have a heater in their tank. They need a place to bask, so either a floating dock or some kind of setup, something that they can climb out onto to get out of the water. They're going to need lights, both heat and UVB, and they're going to need a filter. And then once that's set up pretty well, it's just some basic tank maintenance and feeding them.
How many pet turtles do you have? What are their names and what are their types?
Ooh, well, I also rescue pet turtles, so I think I have 16 right now. most of them are red-eared sliders, which are the kind of turtle that you see in pet stores most often. And a couple of them have actually been wandering around in the wild, and we've had to rescue them out of the wild because sometimes people let them go, and it's really not a good thing to do that. They're very invasive. They're very detrimental to our native turtles. So that's why I take them in. So my very first turtle is a red-eared slider, and her name is Charlie. And she was named after the road that I live on, not for any other particular reason that she's named Charlie. I also have Cooter, Grace, and Frankie, and Jimmy, and Oscar, Patty, Tina, Delilah, and my first one that came out of the wild, her name is Big Mama. And then I have another one that just came in who I haven't named yet. And then I also have three educational ambassador turtles. I have a snapping turtle named Gordon, and a painted turtle named Misty, and a northern map turtle named Declan.
Thanks for your time, Debbie.
Thank you so much, Tilda. It was great to meet you.
This is Matilda Rinkertet reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
say what you must say.
From the 2022 album Dodging Dues, that was Cassandra from Garcia Peoples. They're based in Ulster County and include Copakes PG6 as well. On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that the state legislature approved a bill to stop the dumping of radiological waste from the Indian Point Energy Center nuclear plant into the Hudson River as it goes through the decommissioning process. But Governor Kathy Hochul has not yet signaled her intention to sign or veto the bill. A labor union that represents workers at the Westchester County site as well as the owner of Indian Point are about the only supporters of putting wastewater from the nuclear plant into the Hudson River, but some Republicans in Albany gave them some political cover. Republican Assemblyman Matt Slater said, and I quote, "There are still a lot of questions. I know I have a lot of my colleagues have about the need to improve this type of legislation. But now it goes to the governor's desk and we'll see what she'll do," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Kathleen Moore reports in the Times Union that all Capital Region school districts are removing mascots and nicknames that refer to indigenous people. The Mahanison and Averill Park school districts had resisted but have now dropped their opposition to the state education department's ban on such mascots, which was adopted by the Board of Regents in April. The Mechanicville Central School District has scheduled a special meeting June 21st to vote to retire the nickname. Superintendent Kevin Kolakowski said, and I quote, "While this change may bring about some sense of uncertainty, it is important to remember that our identity as Mechanicville remains unchanged. We are a resilient community, and our strength lies in our unity, irrespective of any names or images associated with us," end quote. In 2021, the Coxsackie Athens Board of Education voted 6-3 to retire the Indians as the district's mascot and team name. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman reports about ways to discourage bears from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. The DEC says they have fielded 63 reports of human-bear conflicts in Ulster County this year, up just 3 from the same point last year. The weather has been dry locally, and if that trend continues, bears might be looking for food in areas they do not usually travel. The DEC website says, and I quote, "Bears will readily utilize human-created food sources," end quote, and that, and I quote, "repeat access," end quote, "can make them bolder and I quote, lead to an increase in human-bear conflicts around homes and residential areas, especially when natural food sources are scarce," end quote. The DEC recommends securing trash bins, and residents can consider masking garbage odors with ammonia-soaked rags. The DEC also recommends removing bird feeders and says that, and I quote, "any food items used to attract birds, squirrels, or other wildlife will also attract birds," end quote. The DEC also says, and I quote, "if you frequently find bears foraging in your garbage cans, despite proper storage, consider using bear-resistant trash container, and if you use trash service, take out your trash just before your scheduled pickup. Do not put garbage at the curb the night before," end quote. The agency also recommends turning up the heat on the grill to high for several minutes after you're done cooking to burn off residual odors. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers mainly after 1 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 71 degrees. Thursday night, there will be a chance of showers. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Friday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 77 degrees. And on Friday night, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 a.m. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 67 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties. Thank you.
You're listening to the Hobo Ho from Charles Mingus on the radio at WGXC. We'll be right back.
My ancestress has left all nunners. Her pulsating skin repelling the doctors she despised. Placed a pacemaker idiosyncratic sounds of